Off at 10 till.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Should I? Good morning. Hello, 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 hello. Am I on? Hello. Oh, there's music playing. Woo. Okay. Whoops, wrong one. Sorry, Sue. Man, it's too quiet in here. Normally I have to, like, shut you down. Normally I have to tell Mike and Tom to sit down and be quiet. Normally. Can you hear me? Huh? Can you hear me? Am I on? Yes, no? Yes, hello, 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 hello. There? That's it? No, you don't want it louder? Okay, so welcome each and every one. And this is Zach's third Sunday in a row. I warned him, but he still came. So glad to have you, Zach. Sitting right behind you is a girl named Alexis. Watch out for her. It's dangerous, she's sitting behind you like that. And that's her mother, Brooke. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you guys again. Sue up there, Sue's back up on stage with Colton. I got a picture of Colton earlier doing this thing with his bulletin. He and Brett were like, nee. So that was cute. The other Zach, the other half of the Zach attack, is back there with Shaney. Welcome. D-Wayne is with us this morning. And Brittany and Colton, and not Colton. That one was Colton. Colton is, sorry, my bad, see. And Evie. Okay, did I get those right? And yes, you guys are just who you are. Sorry. Colored bulletin inserts. Who's got one this morning? Seriously? You're fighting over it? Yay, Kathy. She is special. And who? Frida? Okay, Frida. Yay. All right, special ladies. These two ladies were special yesterday as well, which is a nice segue and cue to the next thing. Thank you. that? Ooh, scary. Alan's hands and knees, praying again. Thanks to all. Some of those faces were probably unfamiliar to you, the AA group that meets here Saturday mornings. Some of them lingered longer and helped out, and that was great. So we had a wonderful time, thanks to everyone who was a part of that. And there will be more of that in the future, so if you missed it yesterday, don't worry. There will be other chances going forward. And related to that, in the kitchen, Anita and Don left out a bunch of pots and pans and dishes and stuff like that, which they're trying to decide what to do with. And if any of you want to take some of it, claim for yourself, please do so, right? You want to say anything else about it, Anita? No? So it's out on the counter in there, so please look afterward and take as much as you can away and trying to clean things up a little bit, reorganize, and so that's great. Okay, other announcements coming. Wednesday night's Bible study. If we don't get hung up in Cyprus again, we ended up spending all last week talking about Cyprus, which was wonderful. But so we're still in John chapter 6, beginning verse 12. Come join us. And then, next Sunday, Pastor Hollis will be preaching in the morning, and in the afternoon, we get to lay it on him thick. So, installation service, and our district pastor, Lloyd Moritz, will be here. There will be quite a number, I think, of other pastors and church leaders from the community here as well, and so it's going to be a great day, and invite your family and friends. We'd like to have a whole house to celebrate together next Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. There will be some light refreshments, fellowship time following as well. And then church council meeting on the 17th, sorry. And we'll remind you of that next week. And on the 20th, I'll be sharing a Father's Day message. And it's the baby bottles are due. There's one left back there for the Life Choices Pregnancy Center fundraiser. There's a baby bottle left. If you haven't grabbed one yet, please do so. Sign your name on that. And then, what's next? Sunday the 27th, yay! You'll be able to celebrate your freedom on July the 4th with, anyway, PJ7Ps is what we're going to end up with, and a final food and fellowship fair. Bring your extra hankies and Kleenexes, please. Okay. Brooke, you had another announcement before we do this concerning wherever you want.
So this year, Colton has been elected to be a beneficiary of something called JC's Race. And it's just a big family get-together fun day for kids who have special illnesses like Colton, or there's another girl who's a beneficiary. There's a 1K walk or run, which is less than a mile. You just walk around the high school and the track and come back. But we definitely would like to see some of you there, all of you there, or anything. Help benefit this guy.
Hey! All right. Yes. Our little answer to prayer, yes.
Big time.
Yes, so there are flyers back there. Grab one if you like, and we'll keep reminding you of that. That's wonderful. We celebrate with you, and be supportive of that as much as we can. Any other announcements? Okay, front of your bulletin, you pick Jesus the Good Shepherd. There's a picture over there that's been there for many, many moons before we even came as well. And from Isaiah chapter 40, see the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Thank you, Father, for who you are. We celebrate who you are. Thank you that you are the good shepherd, and you take good care of us. Help us to be good sheep, and we open our little paws and limbs to you today. Raise them up and go, bah, good shepherd. We want to honor and glorify you today. Help us to do that with your spirit as we worship you. We give you praise for it in your son's name. Amen. Am I on? Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Do I need to yell this morning? Huh? No? Bye, Evie. See you later. Go that way. Good girl. Good job. Okay. So the spring's back, some memories. When I was growing up that age, we sat on the front row. My mom was there with us. Dad was up here in the pulpit. More than once, Dad got out of the pulpit during the middle of the message and came down and took me out and gave me a good spanking right in the middle of the message. It's not only... Oh, you can't imagine that. It was not only a lesson for me, it was a lesson for everyone. Okay, here's what you do with those kids. So, precious memories. Well, a few weeks ago, I can't remember now how long it's been, about a month, I think, because you had the last three Sundays, shared a message, the first half of a message. We've been looking at pictures of Jesus, making Jesus number one in 2021, Anita. This is the last official message for that, so congratulations. Looking at Old Testament pictures of Jesus and how they show us how to meek him. For those of you who missed that, just ask somebody else. I'm not going to go over it again. Meekification. Making Jesus number one in 2021. David, in a dual aspect, we kind of concentrated on the first part, which was his suffering servant, a picture of Jesus. And today we want to focus on the shepherd sovereign that we see in David's life of Jesus and how that can apply to us. And believe it or not, we might even have a small bit of kingship and shepherdness in us as well. And so we're going to look at this. It's David's divine descendants, plural. See that? Okay. So let's see where that takes us. We begin with shepherd. That's the first one to fill in there. And we're returning to 2 Samuel chapter 5, where we left off before. Alan, please.
All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel."
Yeah. So the shepherd boy became king, and the Lord said, "You will shepherd my people as king." So we see this very clear connection between shepherding and being a king and a ruler, and how the two blend together ultimately, most perfectly, in Jesus. But David is the early picture of this. And we noted before in the previous part of the message that there was an anointed appearance that God gave to David and Jesus, an anointed announcement about who they would be, and then an anointed atonement that God worked through both of them, but especially Jesus, of course. So David leads up to the ultimate fulfillment of this in Jesus. David then himself later would write this about himself in Psalm 78.
He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands he led them.
Was David bragging about himself? I don't think so. I think he's giving acknowledgement to the blessing he had and the desire of his heart. He was a man after God's heart. Obviously, as we know, he wasn't sinless. He fell greatly in sin, and that should be of encouragement to all of us as well. None of us are perfect. We're shepherd boys in a sense. Not much to offer, perhaps, but when God looks at us, he sees something different, something he can use. And the shepherding of a shepherd boy can be used in its basic qualities to be a shepherd of people. And we see the same thing, of course, in the life of Jesus. The song that we shared just a little bit, get the shepherd boy. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. When others see a shepherd girl, shepherdess, they may see a queen. Little old farm girl from Ohio became homecoming queen, Warren Pacific College, and the king was waiting for her. Shepherd boy from Eureka, Montana, Podunk place. Montana Hick. Never rounded up sheep, but I did a little bit with the ponies and pigs and that sort of thing. But nonetheless, God sees the potential in us because he's the one that has created it in us. And we need to open our hearts to how he sees us and how he sees others, to be gracious toward others as well. So this leads us, secondly, to sovereign shepherd. The prophets use David as a type of Jesus in this regard. In Isaiah chapter 40, our bulletin scripture, Lula gets to read again.
See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
The sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. Ooh. Fearful. He has a rod and a staff. Oh, he could beat you to death with it if he wanted. Is that what the rod and the staff are for?
No.
What are they for?
Protection.
Protection. Guidance. Love. Tends his flock like a shepherd. Gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Gently leads those that have young. It makes me want to go back there and grab Colton and Bennett and do you know what with them. And this is the kind of sovereign... Sorry, what? Oh, just mind your own business. This is the kind of sovereign shepherd we have. You know, our ideas of God sometimes get all out of whack because we see him as this mighty ruler by your arm. Beat you with my Bible kind of thing. And it's not his heart. That's not who he is. David was a picture of that. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate picture of that. The Lord then uses Ezekiel to speak of the future David as sovereign shepherd in Ezekiel 34.
I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Ezekiel came after David. He's not talking about David. He's talking about the David to come, and yet still calling him David. Jesus didn't mind being called the son of David. He called himself the Son of David, among other names, the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. He was comfortable with that because he knew the good picture that was there, how highly esteemed David was and why in the history of Israel, considered the greatest king of all time, despite his flaws and sin and all of that. And so he was comfortable with that. And yet Ezekiel was prophesying the David to come, the sovereign shepherd who would be there. Later, Ezekiel will add to this sovereign shepherd theme in chapter 37.
My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I give to my servant Jacob, the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever.
Prince forever. Yes. Okay. So that's not the David that died and didn't resurrect. It's the David that died and did resurrect and would be prince forever, shepherd forever, over all of his sheep forever. Micah then prophesies the birthplace of this future sovereign shepherd in the hometown of shepherds. Micah chapter 5.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. We will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. David, the human, so to speak, had his reign. It was the biggest kingdom on the earth at the time, but nothing compared to the sovereign shepherd whose kingdom would reach all the ends of the earth, all around it. And so this is the picture of the sovereign shepherd that David gives to us. When the sovereign shepherd himself comes on the scene, he also reveals himself as the sympathizing shepherd. Matthew chapter 5, 35 through 36.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd.
He looked on the crowds, had compassion, because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. How beautiful is that? His heart went out to them. As unruly as they were, and as, you know, what, nonetheless, he said, these people need a shepherd. Here I am. We're so thankful for that. Then he goes on to reveal more of himself as the sovereign shepherd in that beautiful chapter 10 of John's Gospel, the Good Shepherd, in, yes, chapter 10.
Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Yeah. How beautiful it is to see who Jesus saw himself as. And I dare say he probably, that was his favorite picture of himself, was as the good shepherd. He identified with that. Having been born in Bethlehem, the city of shepherds, and having that kind of connection, being called the son of David, the shepherd of Israel, past, this was how he could fulfill the mission and the calling that the Father had given to him. My sheep know me, I know them, they hear my voice, I know their voice. That relationship, that beautiful relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. Have any of you ever been out with a shepherd and done anything with sheep? Your dad, yeah, Kathy's father had border collies and trained them, and they rounded up the sheep, and bah-ha-ha, a lot of fun in that. Shaney, you as well. So I never had that personal experience except watching her dad do that, which was masterful in itself, kind of like a shepherd using the border collie. But the experience that we have with Jesus, even though we may not have had the literal physical experience of sheep and shepherd, it doesn't get any better than what we experience with Jesus. And I want to encourage you to just open your heart as a sheep at this point and hear his voice, listen for his voice, get to know that voice better. He wants to hear your voice. He's listening for your voice to express whatever to him, so that he can just share that love relationship that a shepherd has. He's willing to lay down his life for you. In fact, he's already done it. And so we thank him for that as well. And I'm learning how to grow in this this relationship, this connection, more and more deeply with the Lord day by day. And I invite you to join me in that process. Well, Peter reminds us that even as sheep, we also can become what? Sub-shepherds. I was hoping Shannon would be here today so I could just tease her and say, Shannon, how's things going at Subway? Ever think of yourself as a sub-shepherd? Shepherdess? The next time you see Shannon, ask her that question. Sub-shepherds, what would that be about? Let's see if Hollis is listening to 1 Peter chapter 5.
To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
Hollis, do you identify? That's why I asked him if he ever was a shepherd boy. No, not particularly. Coon Blank's close enough. It's kind of the same level of existence and that sort of thing. God's not looking for people who view themselves as kings to begin with and have all the qualifications of king like that. He's looking for a shepherd boy kind of mentality, someone who's humble, someone who knows they don't have it all together, someone who has flaws, someone who actually needs God to be able to use them to do what he's called them to do. Yeah, you're identifying with that. And so I've seen this in you, Hollis. You're willing. It's not something that you are demanding, and not pursuing dishonest gain. You don't come to the Sandpoint Church of God to get wealthy as a pastor. I can, not wealthy in material things, but wealthy in spiritual things and in relationships. Doesn't get any better than what we have here in that regard. Eager to serve. Yes, seen that in you. Being an example to the flock. You going to try to live up to that? Okay, so that when the chief shepherd comes, you'll receive the crown that's held out for you. And I want everyone to affirm that as well in Hollis. And not only Hollis, the church council, elders in that regard also help share this burden of leadership. But guess what? It doesn't end there. Peter goes on to say,
in the same way...
Wayne, sorry, can you repeat that?
What's that?
What you just said.
In the same way...
Okay, could you do that a third time?
In the same way...
Thank you, go ahead.
In the same way...
I didn't ask for the fourth.
You who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Why would Peter say in the same way? He just talked about the shepherd who watches over the flock and has some responsibility in that regard. In the same way, you little guys, is there a connection? And we just kind of made the point, didn't we, earlier, that the shepherd is supposed to be humble, gentle, meek, meeking. Had to slip that in there, Anita. Sorry, I'm going to look at you every time. So are we all supposed to be like shepherds, like the shepherd? To be humble and to watch out for each other, be considerate of each other, not lifting ourselves up. God, that's God's business. He said, you be humble, you just let me worry about the rest. I'll lift you up in due time. Cast all your cares on me. I'll lift you up. So there's the chief shepherd. There's the shepherds among us. We're all sub-shepherds in a way. We're supposed to take care of each other as well in the same kind of attitude and spirit that the chief shepherd and the other shepherds, I think you're all acknowledging. Isn't it a privilege to be a part of that kind of loving flock? Okay. Finally, it's only fitting to celebrate the Lord as our sustaining shepherd. You're not going to like this next passage that Tom gets to read. Tom, you get the big privilege today. Go ahead. Huh?
Because I'm reading it.
Please.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Why is Psalm 23 such a favorite? Perhaps the favorite passage in Scripture for a lot of people.
Comforting.
It just really expresses our need, doesn't it? I mean, we have a need for someone to lead us by still waters, to lead us to green pastures, and to feed us a feast in the midst of our enemies, all of these things, and to be able to give us the promise of living with him forever. And there's only one who offers that to mankind, and that is the Good Shepherd of our souls. This is not a passage only for funerals. I mean, in the midst of it, yes, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest valley, as the NIV says, even though we go through those times in our lives of grief and separation, dare I say we're going through that now? We are. We're experiencing that. Looking forward to greener pastures, nonetheless. This is, in a sense, a kind of a valley experience for some of us. We're certainly feeling that. And so it's appropriate in that regard, but not only that, the psalmist talks about all the different experiences of life. When our daughter got married, and I was officiating their wedding, she wanted to do something that we had seen in Cyprus, and that was the priests of the Greek Orthodox Church would lead the bride and the groom around the altar of prayer, and he would chant something. We didn't know what it was. It was in Greek. But they wanted to do that. And I thought to myself, what would be an appropriate thing to share as they go around that? And I said, in my heart and mind, there's nothing that expresses the journey of life better than the shepherd leading us through the different phases and experiences of life than Psalm 23. And so we did that, and everyone quoted it in unison, yeah, and cried, yes. But it's a beautiful expression of what life is all about and having a good shepherd to lead us through those different experiences. And so he is our sustaining shepherd. He sustains us through all the phases of life. In conclusion, Cheryl gets the privilege of offering a benediction to us that is appropriate today. It's a shepherdful benediction.
Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
That great shepherd of the sheep. And we offer to you as well from our hearts that God would equip you with everything good for doing his will, that he will fulfill in you what he knows is needed. He knows what you're equipped for and called for, working together as one flock and with one shepherd, that you all will be able to move on to greener pastures because of that. There are valley experiences in life. There are mountain experiences of life. And God is leading us on to mountain experiences. Our prayer, our desire, is that this journey through a valley of sorts, for a lot of us, is leading to a mountain that God has great things in store for. We believe that with all of our hearts. And so it's good to have a shepherd's point of view. And I trust that what we've shared together today concerning the shepherd will address that in your own hearts and minds, and that this closing song will kind of cement it for us and open our hearts to the shepherd's point of view. So let's stand together as we share this. And as always, the altar is open if you desire to pray here.
Reminds you of
Father, that you offer us your point of view in life. We really need that point of view, Lord. Help us to be open to it and to get to the mountain with you. You lead us there step by step. Thank you for your protective, sustaining, loving care along the way, helping us through the hard times. And even in the midst of a fight with the enemy, you offer us a feast. Thank you, Lord. We just open our hearts wider and wider to what you have for us with gratitude, thanksgiving. You are the great shepherd. We surrender our hearts anew to you today. Thank you for the way that you brought different ones to this place. We're thankful for Sue's improvement, and that she can be back up there on the mountain, so to speak. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sue. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done through Sue and the healing that you're providing for her, that she is getting better. We just continue to claim that for her day by day. And for little Colton as well, that we're celebrating today and what you brought him through, we look back and see your faithfulness. We're lifting up Bulldog to you as he's going through a valley. Thankful, Lord, that he'll be able to look back as well, and we with him from your point of view. For Mike and Beth Ann, as you continue to bless them day by day, and that they're able to be with us here today as well. And for Frida, in the valley you're bringing her through, and your faithfulness in the valley of the shadow of death. For Joanna as well, and others that experiencing the same thing, reminded Sue's mom earlier this year, and Brad. We can go on and on, Lord, but you've been faithful each step of the way, each loss, each period of grief, and you continue to be. And we're just so thankful for the comfort of your spirit and the promise of eternal life in each one of these. Think of Dee especially today. She lost her twin sister, that person that was most precious and close to her through all these years. She's not able to be with her or to go back to her family at this time. And so we just pray your sustaining grace for her. Thankful that you are faithful in that, and help her to just rest in your loving arms and receive the comfort of your spirit and your presence will be even more precious to her than it's ever been before. Thank you, Lord, that we can experience that when we go through really hard times. It causes us to surrender ourselves more to you and experience more of you. Thank you that you work that in those difficulties. Pray your continued blessing and healing for Sherry and what lies ahead for her with her shoulder and other complications. For Julie's mom, Nida, and thank you, Lord, that you continue to be with them. We just also, we had a visit yesterday with Carol Blair, who used to come with the Valley Vista guys, and who lost her husband earlier this year, and still continuing to struggle with that and loneliness. Thank you, Lord, that she's looking to you. And we just offer our prayers and support as well to undergird her and help her in this time. Thank you, Lord, that you're with those that we love and care for who are away from you, who have turned away from the Good Shepherd. Again, my brother, Tom's sister, Diane, others that we can identify today. But we know that you are with them, even though they turn their backs, and that you're calling them back to yourself. And so we pray that they will hear your voice and respond. Thank you, Lord, that as the Good Shepherd, you do hear our voice, you listen, you want to hear from us. And so receive other expressions of praise and petition from your people. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Parent, it's